Jesus, the name above all other names. Jesus, the name above all other names. Why we say that? I want you all to turn your Bible towards the book of Romans and chapter 10 and verse 3 and 4. The book of Romans, chapter 10 and verse 3 and 4. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves into the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. I want you to read that verse number 4. Let's read out together. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. We worship Jesus Christ. And why it is this important worshiping Christ? What is special in Christ? Why do we give a special reverence to this name? What makes it different? Why Jesus? There are so many names that we hear, so many religions that we have, so many people around us, so many philosophies. And we are in 21st century when postmodernism is at its peak. Discoveries are great. Inventions are awesome. Great things are happening around. Science has developed so much. Where in an age like this, talking about God is senseless, is something that is not reason, is something that doesn't fit with the pace of the society. Why Jesus? Why should we just think about Jesus? Bible that we were hearing right now, it talks about Jesus became the end of the law. And from now onwards, it is the name of Jesus that gives us the life. If we can turn towards the same chapter, verse 12 and 14. 12, verse 12. You can just roll your Bible up towards 10, chapter 10, verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. That means it's not about who you are. It's not about what religion you follow. It's not about from which country you come in. It's not about which tribe you belong to. It's all about the name that is above all other names. That means, now, there is one ultimate reality that we all should understand. And the ultimate reality is, if there is a life, there is a death. Right? If we have life, then we definitely have death. That is an ultimate reality. So there are people who don't believe life after death, but it has been proven over and over that there is a life after death. There is a life after death. There is a chain of life that is connected to this life. We don't believe in reincarnation. We don't believe in this age we became man and next age we'll become something else. We don't believe that. But we do believe there is a soul inside us that is not perishable. Nobody can destroy that soul. There are scientific reasons of talking about this one thing. That there is a soul that is inside you that lives. Body will die. Body will decay, but there is something inside you that will never die, and that is your soul. Man is made up of three things. Can you say that? Body, soul, and spirit. Now, Bible gives a clear picture about it. Watchman Nee talks well about it. Watchman Nee has given a great definition about this. And this is what it is. When God made Adam, he made a body of mud. He brought all the dust together. He made a body. And to this body, he breathed his spirit. He gave his spirit into this body. When the spirit and the body came together, the third thing came in, and that is soul. Spirit came from God, body came from earth, but soul has come when body and spirit came together. Third thing came in, soul. And soul is the one thing that will never die. The most scientific thing, I will just bring it to you. You know about this lie detective test, right? Have you heard about it? Yeah, lie detective test. What actually happens? What happens is that doctors or people, medical professional people, they will put you to sleep. And when you're sleeping, they will ask few questions. And when they ask questions, you will not lie. Talks about you. 90% of the people, they cannot lie. There are people, there may be people even, they will lie after that. But normally people won't lie. But have you ever thought about that? When this person is in incense, you cannot trust his words. But he is put to sleep, a deep sleep. And then questions are asked, so secret questions. All those questions that he denied when he was in his senses. But as soon as he go to the lie detective test, he answer every single question and all the answers are right. They will tell the truth. You know why? That part is where spiritually I will say that one part, you can put him to sleep on a physical realm. His body is sleeping, but his soul, that is the black box. You know about this black box, right? Every flight or every airplane has a black box. And what happens is that the history of what they talked, what they did, and how the pilots flew this flight, everything has been recorded in that black box. You will see that even after the flight is crashed, the plane is destroyed, even it goes pieces to pieces, but they will, whenever an accident happens, what they look for is black box. And when they get the black box, they can tell you why and what has happened to this flight, whose mistake was that, they can tell everything. Same way, when you are put to sleep, your body sleeps, there is a black box. And that black box is your soul. That black box is your soul. And when your body has no control because the body is sleeping, now the soul is without the control of human intellect, without the control of human body. And whatsoever you ask the soul will give the answer. Same, just similar to this. One day, when we all will die, and when our soul rises up from the dead body, it goes to the judgment seat of God. And before the judgment seat of God, there is no chance that you and me can lie, because then we don't have a body that we had over here. Then we don't have an intellect that we had in over here. And then the questions will be asked, and your soul is there, plain and simple, have to give the answer for everything. And that's the reason we say a day is coming, and that day is known as the day of judgment. Before you go to the day of judgment, you have a chance to live in this world. And when you have a chance to live in this world, Bible says Jesus became the end of the law, so that one who believes in Jesus, he will not perish but have an everlasting life. Can church give God glory, honor, and praise, because Jesus has given us the new life. Now, what is law? Law is not a Christian Old Testament law. Law can be any principle that human mind makes for himself. For example, some people think my destiny will be good if I give more. Some people think if I do a lot of social work, my destiny will be good. I will find my place in heaven. There are people who think if I can build 10 houses for poor, my place in heaven is for sure. Some people think if I can help poor people, if I can do certain social activities, and because of all these good things to be done, we all are so busy in doing good things. Let me tell you, Bible talks about that. Bible says, all our good acts, all our good things, all our good thoughts are like filthy rags before the righteousness of God. Bible says, for there is only one God who is righteous. And Bible also says, for all have sinned and have fallen short from the glory of God. So everybody who is born, whether you're born as a Hindu, you're born as a Christian, you're born as a Baptist, you're born as a Muslim, you're born as a Jew, you're born as a Confucius, if you're born as a communist, you can take any name, any religion of the world, whether Confucianism, whether Stoicism, whether Octavism, whether you say communism, whether you say Islam, you say any name. A Bible says everybody who is born from a human body is sinful, is full of sin. Why? You are not sinful because you committed sin. Let me remind you this. You are not sinful, or you are not a sinner because you committed sin. But because of the sin of Adam and Eve, the sin is getting from one generation to, is passing on from one generation to the next generation. You and me are not basically sinners because we committed sin, but we are sinners because we are born in sin. Amen. So when I am called as a sinner, not because I committed sin, but because I was born in sin. Somebody else have done, committed the sin, and I am called as sinner, right? Somebody else have committed sin and I am called sin. And then I continue to commit sin and I am a complete sinner. But Bible says, if because of one man who committed sin, you all were called as sinners. Now here is another man who killed and canceled the effect of sin, who took victory over sin and death. And that is Jesus Christ, who came into this world 2,000 years ago, who just renounced the glory of God, who was in heaven with God. He just took it off, took a human image and human personality, came into this world 2,000 years ago. And he, Bible says, there is, in him there was no sin. He never committed sin. And in him there was no sin at all. That means in past history he never had sin. When Jesus was on the earth, he never committed sin. And now Jesus is risen, there is no sin in him. One person who never had sin, who never committed sin, and there is no sin in him, he came to this world. And what he did is that he finished all the laws, the requirement of laws. Whether you say your principle of social work, you say the principle of holy living, you say the principle of holy giving, you say the principle of anything of this world, Jesus Christ said, because of all these doings, you will never get to heaven. So what he did is that he made everything easy. And he said, it's not by work that you will get to heaven, but it is by faith in Jesus Christ that you will get to heaven. Can we just give God glory, honor, and praise? Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, there is no philosophy in this world. There is no teaching in this world. There is no religion in this world that gives you hope that without your good works, you can go to heaven. And this is the only one teaching, and the teaching of Jesus Christ, that it is not by the good works, it is not because of the good works that I do, I go to heaven, but because Jesus Christ, who came to this world, he died for me, he died for you, he took the pain of sin, he took the penalty of sin, and he went onto the cross, he died on the cross, and before he died, he said, it is. You know what's the meaning of this? It is finished. In Old Testament, even you take any philosophies of the world, there are 613 laws, 613 principles to get salvation. In Bible, in Old Testament, you know, you have to do 613 things without failing even one to get to heaven. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. It's just 10 commandments. But then there were added commandments. 603 commandments were added in the span of 6,000 years. 603 commandments were added to 10, and it became 613. And Bible says, if you miss one, you miss all. If you miss one commandment, you miss all. So it is important for everybody to fulfill 613 commandments to get to heaven. What Jesus did. And the commandments were so, it was so tough. You cannot see this. You cannot say this. You cannot think this. You cannot do this. You have to wear this. You have to go this. You have to, I mean, it's only do's and do's and do's and don'ts and do's and don'ts. And Jesus said, man, even Moses, through whom God gave 10 commandments, he could not fulfill 3 commandments. Through Moses. Moses gave 10 commandments, right? And he could not fulfill those given commandments in his lifetime. And then came prophets. They could not fulfill. They failed. There came priests. They could not fulfill. They failed. There came a lot of people, priests. None of them could fulfill that. Even they could try to fulfill at least 5, the 6th one they will fail. Forget about 613. But when Jesus Christ came, when he came into this world, this is how he did. He started with law number 1 and then moved to law number 2. In the year span of 33 and a half year, he started fulfilling the law. Bible says Jesus fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the law 1, 2, 3. He came up to 100. He came up to 200. He came to 300. He came to 400. He finished 500. He came to 600. 610, 11, 12. And finally on the cross, he completed 613 laws. He fulfilled everything. And spreading out his hand, he shouted on, "It is." That means from now onwards, none of the people have to fulfill the laws, because I have fulfilled every single law in my body. And now people have to do one thing. Just believe in what I have done. Not in your good works, but believe in the work and the person of Jesus Christ. And when you believe in the personality of Jesus Christ, Bible says you will rejoice in heaven. How blessed are we that we are born in a generation that we don't have to fulfill the laws to get to heaven. It is finished. Jesus, and that's the reason the verse that we heard right now, chapter 10 and verse 4, Bible says, Jesus became the end of the law. So he became 614th law. He became number 614. So we got a direct promotion. We don't have to go to 1, 200, 200, 300, 400, 600. We just have to believe on 614th law, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that those who ever believe in him shall not perish but have an everlasting life. Let me remind you, church, everybody who is sitting over here, if you have ever had an opportunity to receive this Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm so glad for that. But I want to give you an opportunity right now. I don't know if you will hear this after this or not, if you will get an opportunity outside this church or not. I just want to give this opportunity to you. No matter how good you are doing, no matter what you spend your time, where you spend your time, no matter what good things you do, I will tell you one thing. There is nothing wrong in having Jesus with you. There is nothing wrong. nothing wrong in having Jesus with you. You know, you have everything in there. Jesus is not demanding anything. He just demands one thing. Just believe in him. He don't want your money. He don't want your position. He don't want anything. He just wants you. He just wants you. Today, this Jesus is here, extending his hands to you. Well, do you? I want to tell you, you may be born as a Christian. Not necessarily because you are born as a Christian, you are saved. No, it never happens. It is just similar to anybody who is born as a non-Christian. Like that baby, we were talking about baby David, right? He is born. He doesn't know anything. It's just like another child, right? We all were born the same way. But the day when we give our life to Jesus Christ, our life changes. Our life changes. I want to just give this Jesus to you. I don't know. You may be a Christian from a long time. You have a Christian tree. You have a family tree of all this Christian line of thoughts. But I want to ask you one thing. I want to pose you one question. If your soul leaves your body, and on the judgment day, when this question is asked to you, didn't that pastor preach about Jesus Christ on that day? Your soul will say, yes, he preached. And then he will say, didn't he give you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ? And your soul will say, yes. Then why did he do this? I just passed it out. It should not happen. Let our soul be real to God. Let our soul be. You cannot dictate your soul then. Now we can dictate our soul because our soul is under the control of our body. But when body goes back to ashes, the soul goes back to the Lord. To the honor of this, the honor of the soul is God. We have to answer that day. A day of judgment is coming very soon. Jesus said, you know, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he was there for 40 days on this earth. And after 40 days, he went to heaven. And when he was going up, he said, as I go, I will come back again. Jesus is coming soon. Two things are going to happen. Either you and me, we are going to die, or Jesus will come before our death. One thing is certain. Either I'm going to die, which I don't know when I will die. Second thing, Jesus will come, which we don't know when he will come. For both of these questions, there's only one answer. Believe in Jesus Christ. Just believe in. And somebody who says that I believe in Jesus, I will say, rededicate your life. Think about it. You don't have time. You don't have time. We can say that, you know, I will plan it. I will think about it. There is no guarantee what's happening tomorrow. You don't know what will be the next when you step out of this church. You don't know. I was just thinking about one of my friend who was with us over here. And just he left. And when he went back home, he was there to see his father. He wanted to talk to his father. As soon as he went home, father went into coma. He could not talk. You don't know what's happening next. You don't know. Think that this may be the last moment of your life. Can we make a decision? Think about this may be the last moment of your life. Can we take a decision? Decision to live for Jesus. I want you to close your eyes. Jesus is calling you. How many of you would love to rededicate your life or give your life to Jesus? Can I see those hands? It's not just me. Lord wants to see you. Can we just rise up in the presence of God? Hallelujah. I want you to close your eyes. The day of judgment is very close. Jesus is coming soon. Don't know whether we will get a chance to think about it or not. But how many of you would love to reassure that my life is safe in Christ? As you close your eyes, will you lift up your hands in the presence of God? Make sure that your life is secured in Christ. Just lift up your hands.